Curtis Lewa.
Boom!
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Lewa
that takes a lot.
Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Lewa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Lewa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Lewa.
Curtis Lewa.
Curtis Lewa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour 12. And with the Big Mac Daddy theme song, you know, that means that Dominic Carter is in the house here at WABC as we are high atop, the big MSG in the great facilities that have been provided to us, nice and warm and toasty by NJDiet.com in order to do this broadcast to all of you on the 50,000 pound for watts of sound. And Dominic, we're going to get to the fact that you may be the one responsible for the crook of all crooks, the capo di tutti of New Jersey, Hudson County, U.S. Senator Bobby Menendez, walking out of court scot-free because of a mistrial.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I can't believe this. I hate that crook so much. And his Medici, his benefactor, the infamous Dr. Melgen. But we'll get to that momentarily. Wanted to report to all of our listeners that we had the world premiere of the Guardian Angel documentary Vigilante last night here in New York City as part of the Doc Film Festival.
Stop. Why didn't you tell me about it? I've had at least seven people ask me, when can I see it here in New York City? When can I? And I said, it's coming up. And now you're telling me it happened last night?
Well, there's only one other showing, which is Wednesday afternoon at 2:45. It's posted on the Curtis Facebook page at WABC. Just go to the Curtis Lewa Show on Facebook and you'll see all the details. I'll also be there for that to do the intro and then the Q&A afterwards. But I got to tell you, it couldn't be a worse day for me yesterday because I got hit at about 12 noon with a massive colitis ileitis attack.
Like before when you were in your office when I was here?
Almost as bad.
Oh. Almost.
I was teetering. You know, when I teeter like the Leaning Tower of Pizza and you
right.
say, any second.
Right.
Timber!
Right.
He's going to hit the turf and he's going to begin projectile vomiting. Luckily, I was able to forestall that. Spent some time with my youngest sons yesterday, which was difficult because I was on the verge of just a complete collapse and was able to make it through the showing last night, although I was un miserable. And today's date is the 13th, right? November
13th. It is the 13th.
We are now 1 month away from when I will be a Columbia Presbyterian under the knife.
Oh, boy.
To undo all of this as they're going to take out part of my stomach. They're going to give me a colostomy bag, a morphine pump. And hopefully I can get back on track after that. After 2.5 years
so
of total
misery. Just between me and you now.
Yes.
Are you a little nervous? Are you a little worried?
Oh, no. You know, I've been under the knife so many times. You know, it's almost like they got a zipper on my stomach. You know, from my throat right on down to my belly button.
And how long will it be before you can start eating again?
Well, best case scenario, right? They gave me an over-under point spread, this being the NFL football season.
Yes,
so the doctor
goes,
I'm going to give you the over-under point spread.
Okay.
Because we've done MRIs and all kinds of tests, and we can't see all the damage because you have so many ulcerated intestines from the time you were shot with the 5-hollow-point bullets back in the summer of 1992. I'm going to guess here. If the surgery goes well, you will be in the hospital for a week, and then you can slowly get back to it. If the surgery doesn't go as I hope, it could be a month or more that you're laid up, and you'll have to be fed by an IV. You'll have the colostomy bag. You'll have the morphine pump. And guess what? You'll be able to max and relax and just veg.
And be high all day.
Oh, yeah. Be totally high all day. High as a kite. I've been under the morphine pump before for the gunshot wounds. And let me tell you something. That is a powerful narcotic. That is a narcotic I had to wrestle with. You know, I'm able to deal with all the others, the oxycodone, the hillbilly heroin, Vicodin, Percocet. No problems. I can manage them. Morphine, when they put a pump in your hand, you want to start pumping it more and more. And you say, to hell to everything. You know, I'm loving it.
But wait, did I just hear you say hillbilly heroin?
Yeah, hillbilly heroin.
I don't think my... What is that?
That's oxycodone. That's what I take for the colitis and ileitis, which is now full-blown Crohn's disease.
But wait, but we don't have hillbillies in this area.
Oh, yes, we do.
We do?
Oh, yeah. Some of these white folks who live in this area...
I'm glad you said that. I didn't say it. Yeah. I didn't say it
to our audience. The three-eyed cousin fornicators like Judge Roy Moore, you know, they're like his clan. We're going to be getting into that later on in the show. But it is interesting. I'm going to put a calendar up here in the studio. Like a prisoner waiting for the parole hearing or a cop waiting for his 20 years and then I'm out half pay, full boat of benefits for the rest of my life.
I don't think you're ever going out. Just scratch off the dates. Until the surgery.
December 13th, that's right. I got to make it through. The doctor doesn't think I can make it through.
How long will the surgery... Wait a minute. Did I hear you say the doctor... Oh, doesn't think you'll make it until that day.
No, he's worried that I'm going to collapse in the interim and then I'm going to have to be brought into the emergency room and then some other surgeon who normally does the angle to the dangle will have to do emergency surgery. I said, Doc, don't worry about it.
I'll make it. Wait. Translation for the Curtis Lee or Black Talk.
Yes,
what was that? You said the angle to the... What?
The angle to the dangle. That means...
What is the angle to the dangle?
They always have surgeons in an ER who you wonder. Their names are always Dr. Khan. And they're either from Karachi or Islamabad. And you wonder what kind of doctors they are. But they're there on call there be an emergency. And I do not want Dr. Khan feeling up my insides with his hands. They probably were tending goats outside of Islamabad maybe a month ago.
Be careful.
That's the way it is nowadays.
Okay, but wait. You said it's the angle. What was that?
The angle to the dangle.
The angle. I don't know what that means.
That means that everything inside that's packed in, you're in it.
Right.
When all of a sudden the angle to the dangle isn't functioning, it seizes up. And then you have to be rushed to the ER. You don't get a choice of surgeons then. Whoever's on call operates on you. And so that's what this surgeon is worried about. Boy, if you get rushed into an ER, you may have, God only knows who's operating on you. Some guy who's an Uber driver part-time. Right? So, you know, he tried to encourage me to do it now. And I said, no, I want to do it on December 13th. It's going to be up on the calendar in the room. And thinking of bad news... The Giants lost yesterday to the 49ers, who hadn't won a game all year long.
Yes.
You know, virtually the whole 49ers team takes a knee when they play the national anthem in honor of their former colleague, Deu di Grazia, Colin Kaepernick. Do you know that the 49ers sent out a questionnaire to their fans asking, in terms of game day experience, how important is it that your team wins? Can you believe this? What do you mean, how important is it? What do you think? You spend all that money to go watch your team lose? And finally, they got a victory at the hands of, oh, man, the New York Giants, who are like going, gone. And speaking of going, gone, why is it you're at the heart of this controversy now of this juror who was released by the judge in Newark Federal Court in the Bobby Menendez trial, who was speaking like a yenta to you? And because of that, it almost caused a mistrial. Can you get us up to snuff on that? That was Ken Duffy's lead story.
Yeah, it was Ken's lead story. And I literally just left the federal courthouse, the fourth floor, federal judge William Walls, defense counsel Abby Lowe. This guy makes millions per case. Argued for a mistrial. The person at the center of all this, her name is Evelyn Arroyo Maltzby. She was juror number 8.
Is she a citizen?
What?
Look, you can vote and not be a citizen. You can bogart your way into a jury without being a citizen.
She's a Latina. She's married to a black man. And she's been on the jury.
Okay.
And she... It's so many convoluted things here. Let me just backtrack. First of all, I just spoke to her again this morning.
Oh, wow. She's like your pen pal.
In front of your producer, Justin, who heard me take the phone call. She's in the Caribbean as we speak. She was the subject of 2 hours
of what went on
in the courtroom today.
Why is she in the Caribbean if she's part of jury deliberation?
Because, and that's a good question, she had a prearranged vacation. A prearranged vacation where part of the deal was Judge Walls said, sit on the jury and you can go on vacation. Nobody knew this trial was going to go this long. I've been covering this trial since, what, Labor Day, early September?
Right, and you cover it for RN, so if you have Fios One.
And Fios, right.
Right, you can see Dominic, his coverage each night from 6 to 7, Monday through Fridays.
Right, so on Thursday, she's released as a juror. The judge, and I guess he cannot do this, he did not issue a gag order to her. So the fact that she was not on a gag order and a former juror, me and my producer, Carol, we decided to talk to her. And she gave us an earful. She's alleging that the federal government is railroading Menendez. She says that she believes he's not guilty on all 18 counts. And she says other jurors tried to wait her out and get her off the panel. So defense lawyers this morning for 2 hours argued that's grounds for a mistrial. Judge Walz pulled each member of the jury into his private chamber. The plot thickens. They admitted that the judge said he's seen the television coverage. Several members of the jury said they've seen the television coverage of juror number 8. But the judge, as of right now, sent the jury back with the alternate. And they are deliberating as we speak right now.
And they have to start from all over again.
Thank you. That's a good point. They start all over.
So I don't understand why this judge would give an exception and say, you know, we should be finished by then. Your vacation should be fine. Why not have just better be safe than sorry? Just pick another juror. Pick another juror. Use that as an exemption for her so that she didn't have to sit on this jury. Because now, look at it. Not only does she turn out to be a yenta, which could have caused this to be a mistrial, and you're responsible for this. Probably you threw her some coin and she opened up to you like you were Barbara Walters, right? And now all of a sudden, she can't stop talking. She's talking to you from the Caribbean.
Wait, are you calling me the black Barbara Walters?
Yes, of course. Of course.
The African-American
Barbara
Walters.
You've been known to do that in your broadcast career. You've gotten exclusive interviews before that have rocked everybody's world. Now, I would think if I'm Bobby Menendez, I wanted this woman on the jury.
Right. He spoke to me this morning,
right,
Senator Menendez, and he wished her well on her vacation. He said that he wishes that she didn't leave the jury.
Hell yeah.
But he said that he's concerned. So we're already seeing the appeal set up. He said he's concerned about the potential bullying of juror number 8 that happened in this jury room.
Well, naturally, he would be concerned because that was his ticket to freedom.
Why are you looking at me like
that? Well, let's play some of the cuts of Dominic Carter's exclusive interview with the juror who had to go on vacation.
It was very stressful.
Why?
Why? Because I feel like the government was very corrupted, not that Menendez was. So what I saw is that they were, to me, railroading him.
You feel the government is trying to railroad Menendez?
Yes.
Who's calling you?
Bill collectors. Can I take it for one second?
No, please don't take it on the air.
I have to. Hold on a second. Hold on. Oh. Yeah, okay. All right, now, I've told you at least 1,000 times.
Curtis,
when I
please
get paid,
don't do this.
You freaking get paid. Get in the queue, get online, and you'll get your percentage. You dirtbag, you muckraker, you're like you viper, you leper.
Okay. Did you really have to take that call on the air?
Yes, because I have to let them know the deal, morning, noon, and night. They're like all over me because they know I'm here.
Right.
You see,
they know
I'm here. But now, with this juror being so biased in favor of Bobby Menendez.
Well, I don't know about that. She voted count number 18, falsifying his Senate disclosure reports.
Right.
She voted guilty. So he was convicted already. They voted guilty, all of them, on count 18.
Oh.
She went home and slept on it, came back and rescinded her guilty before they were able to give the sheet to the judge.
So that's bad news for Bobby Menendez, at least on that one count.
Right, on that one count.
But they have to turn back the clock,
right,
start their deliberations all over again.
Which they did.
And there could be other problems with jurors now because, as you mentioned, 4 of them
right.
had already to sit with the judge because he had seen your TV broadcast with the talking yenta there who felt that Bobby Menendez should be beatified by the Vatican and made a saint.
Wait, he should be what?
Beatified. Made a saint.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know,
okay.
Saint Bobby Menendez, the crook from Hudson County. Anyway, our numbers, 1-800-848-WABC. I think Dominic is responsible here for a possible mistrial that's going to let the crook of all crooks, the capo di tutti, off the hook, Bobby Menendez. 1-800-848-9222. 12:27. So unbelievable that in this Bobby Menendez case, the U.S. Senator of New Jersey, the judge granted a vacation to a woman that Dominic Carter had the ins with. She's now in the Caribbean.
With her husband.
Instead of sitting on the jury through final deliberations. And you're talking with her again today?
Well, I heard from her again today. She's aware of what's going on. She says she wanted to be here. Part of the deal that she had with the judge back in September, late August, was, Your Honor, I have a scheduled vacation. He said, you can stay on the jury, and I will relieve you at that time.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Is this the same knucklehead, screwball juror who asked the judge, what is a U.S. senator?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Oh, so there's another doom cough on the jury. Can you believe that we have a jury composed of people of Essex County, who are listening to a case involving a U.S. Senator, Bobby Menendez, the crook of all crooks, the capo di tutti, and in fact, one of the jurors needed an explanation of what a U.S. senator is?
But it's not that simple. The media has had a field day with this, but it's not that simple. The juror was inquiring of what's the definition of a senator based upon the Supreme Court ruling, which is tremendously different now, pre-McDonald. And they're also asking about the fact that Tom Harkin from Iowa came to testify on behalf of Menendez.
Oh, that's another crook, Tom Harkin.
Well, anyway, Harkin testified that senators represent interests all over the country, not just their district. So the issue is a senator someone that's local or someone that's national? It's just not that simple.
How about a simple question? Is a senator supposed to procure you prostitutes and floozies that you have as gourmandas here on those visas?
That's not part of the trial.
Those Fugazi visas.
That's not part of the trial.
It should be.
The underage alleged prostitutes in the Dominican Republic, there was no credible evidence based on the FBI.
Well, let's go to the other piece of your interview with the juror on vacation that almost caused a mistrial today.
Were you the only one holding out at this point?
Basically. And there's more, but I'm the one that held out that he's not guilty on every single charge.
You're juror number 8 inside this room, and you are indicating that it was a hung jury?
Right now, it's a hung jury. Yes, it's a hung jury right now.
Wow.
They're not sure. They're still going through all documents to see if they can see if there's anything wrong. But when I through the whole trial, I did not fall asleep. I paid attention to everything that they showed me, and what I saw, the government didn't give me enough. So I think the defense showed me enough to say he's not guilty on every count.
I bet you they bribed him. Anyway, let's go to Neil calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Neil.
You hit it right on the button, Curtis, when you say, like, these people don't even know what a senator is, a congressman. I had a house in Jersey. It was the worst mistake I ever made. And I don't know how these people just keep voting for these same people all the time. I just don't know. I can't even think how they keep doing the same thing.
Well, not only that, but Bobby Menendez has a history in Hudson County, one of the most corrupt Democratic machines in the country. He is the head of the county machine as congressman, as U.S. senator. And let's face it, come on, you know, Dominic, he was procuring hookers and gourmandas for his Medici Melgin and using the U.S. government to do that.
Hookers are not part of this trial from the Dominican Republic. As it relates to women, you do have some gorgeous models that were alleged mistresses of Dr. Melgin. They testified. As it relates to the senator allegedly writing letters of support to get them into the country.
By the way, did you meet any of these floozies on the side there?
What is wrong with you?
Look, just before we go to Ken Duffy with news and headlines, I figure I'd give you a little thrill.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
Love 39, Dominic Carter in the house. You know, recently Homeland Security did a test of the TSA. And they attempted to smuggle in all kinds of contraband through the screening apparatus that has been set up in airports all across America, small, mid-sized, and large.
I know you're going to tell us the results, but I guarantee you, everyone listening to our voice could tell you the results of what they found.
80% of the contraband was smuggled through. I mean, we're talking hand grenades.
Are you surprised?
Guns,
knives.
Are
you surprised?
No. No, having been through TSA, Checkpoint Charlie, and see what they do as they stare into the screens, as they look for inanimate or animate objects that might be a threat to the rest of the passengers, I look at them and say, what? And then they make you take your shoes off and your belt, and they go take your coat off and your jacket and your hat and all these things that I'm saying to myself, got it already. And then remember, they wipe your hands if they pull you to the side, and they put those cotton balls into a machine. What do they detect? To me, it's all a placebo. You know, it's all just meant to be a placebo because these tests have been done almost every year.
And I wouldn't
go that far.
The TSA
fails time and time and time again.
But I wouldn't go that far in terms of they're swiping your hand with the cotton and so on. I assume they're looking for explosive devices, traces of explosive devices. I have very little faith in them, unfortunately. But at the same time, let's be fair about this argument. What is the alternative? One. And two, you've got to have something there. You've got to have something there. And they, the TSA, let's be honest. When Curtis Lee or Dominic Carter comes through, do we want to wait for 2 hours?
No, of course not.
Okay. Don't we want to go through in 15 minutes?
Exactly.
So there's added pressure of getting Americans through as quickly and as fast as possible.
Well, let's find out from our many listeners, because I'm not at all impressed with the people that the TSA has hired that do the Checkpoint Charlie screening.
So let me ask you this question. Where do they get these people from?
I have no idea, but obviously there are competent people out there. I just don't know if their technology is up to snuff. I just think a lot of the machinery that they use is not up to the task of detecting these items. I mean, when you look at the kind of items that Homeland Security snuck through, they obviously stand out. They're not microscopic. You know, they weren't wrapped in layers and layers. You know, the way drug dealers will stick maybe little bits of cocaine in a medalladoro coffee can, you know, with the coffee grinds around so the dog can't sniff it. No. I'm talking about simply they put it in a bag. They ran the bag through the detection device, and they couldn't pick it up.
But sometimes, knives and guns and hand grenades. But sometimes they do catch you off guard. I had a 5 a.m. flight coming back from Charlotte to head back to Newark Federal Court. And I was caught off guard as we were standing in line. One of the agents came through with those bomb-sniffing dogs. So they do while we were waiting to get to the TSA checkpoint.
Now, did the dogs start sniffing you and barking at you?
No.
Because you know how dogs, they bark at black people for whatever reason. I have no idea.
What is wrong with you?
You know, if you're a U.S. Postal Service delivery guy or UPS guy, you know, with the brownies, you know, they bark at them. They bark at, and they bark at black people.
Okay, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. We'll come back to your black thing. Have you ever seen a canine unit dog for bomb sniffing bark? I have never seen them bark.
They look like they've been taking Prozac.
Or they're high.
Yeah, right. They almost look that.
Well, I understand that's how they train them. They give them a little bit of the drug
that
they're supposed to be recognizing or fighting against.
Oh, so they're hippie dogs.
But
you know,
what's
it's like they're going to a Grateful Dead concert or a Fish concert.
But what's don't answer the phone call, please. Please don't answer.
Anyway, let's give our phone numbers out. 1-800-848-WABC. I think it's time to get rid of the TSA. 1-800-848-9222. But who weighed in on that? On his weekly press conference Sunday afternoon, in which reporters like yourself, they show up like seals.
Is that what we do?
Yeah.
Is that what we do?
For Chuck E. Cheese Schumer.
We clap our hands together and go.
Yeah, he throws you little fishes, you know. He gives you little sound bites so you have a story for Sunday that might bleed into the newspapers on Monday. Never is a tough question asked of the schmuck. Don't make that the putz. Chuck E. Cheese Schumer.
The technology has evolved, and TSA has to get with it. They have to put the same effort they did after 2001, 2002, 2003 at training their employees to stop explosive devices from getting on airplanes. The fact that ISIS is redoubling its efforts to hurt us is new, and that means that TSA has to redouble its efforts as well.
Oh, please, redouble the efforts. That means, you know, that means twice as much money in their budget.
Well, what's the alternative? And in fairness, when we're looking at this,
there
hasn't been an attack, thank God, on an American airline, right, in the last couple of years.
That is correct.
So, I mean, we have to give them a little bit of credit when credit is due.
Yeah, but sneak Obama boy Richard Reid, remember, who took that flight from Paris to Miami.
What did you call the guy?
Sneaker Obama boy Richard Reid.
Oh, okay.
Remember, he had the big fro. He had like a detonation device sticking out of his Nikes.
You do know sometimes I have to stop you so I can translate what you're saying.
Completely understood.
Okay.
He copped a plea. He said he was guilty in Plymouth, Massachusetts, in federal court, so we didn't have to sit to an ordeal. But the point is, they keep making us take our shoes off. You know how many people have smelly feet? You think I want to stand online smelling their smelly dogs?
Okay. Smelly feet, not coming back home. Which one would you prefer? And at the federal courthouse in Newark, it's the same thing. Take off your belt. Take off your shoes, same exact procedure.
And I'll bet you they do it a lot better than they do it at the TSA at Newark International Airport. The others who do it well when they really put their mind to it are correctional officers. When they do a complete cavity check, you know, squat and thrust, they look up the Hershey Highway, they make sure that you have absolutely no weapons on you whatsoever or contraband.
What is wrong with you?
Well, that's what they do in jail. I've been locked up. It's what they made me do, squat and thrust. Some guy was looking up my Hershey Highway like he was a proctologist. Anyway, let's go to Steve, who's calling from Princeton. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Steve?
Hey, gentlemen. I think that the airport screening should be done by the U.S. military. They're one of the few large enough organizations these days that still have the discipline and the work ethic to handle this type of stuff.
But, Steve, what happens then around the world where U.S. military is needed?
Well, that's a really good question, and I don't know what the staffing and the numbers are. I can't answer that question for you.
Well, Steve, would the replacements be possibly from the local state National Guard that obviously cover the terrain of that particular airport as opposed to active U.S. Army personnel?
Well, that's a good idea, too. You know, supplement it with the guard or, you know, I don't know how the staffing would work. I'm certainly not a personnel expert, but I think there are a lot of options that would be, you know, of a higher quality than what the TSA has obviously been shown to be.
I mean, I've seen TSA workers. They look like they're half stoned on. They're half asleep. You know, they're looking at their cell phones. They're sending selfies and sexting people, you know. And the bags keep going through.
Minute. But how do you know they're sexting people?
Because they have big smiles on their faces.
That doesn't mean they're sexting someone.
Yeah, when the girl on the other side who's a TSA agent is smiling at the boy on this side, and you sort of get that feel that they're about to have that urge to merge, and it ain't going to happen during the lunch break or during the coffee break. Anyway, let's go to Larry, who's calling from Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Larry?
How you doing, Curtis? Dominic Curtis, good luck with the surgery when it comes up.
December 13th is the surgery. Go ahead, Larry.
Dominic, how did Curtis pick this song, the theme song, the opening song?
You know, Larry, that's a great question. And so we're going to let him answer it. But I will also point out that he came in here pissed off one day and was pointing at me. And he said, I can't believe the New York Yankees stole your theme song. So, Mr. Sliwa, I want you to answer Larry's question. How did you come up with that theme song for
me? I love this Mark Morrison jam because it fits you like the glove that didn't fit O.J. Simpson, remember?
You must acquit.
That's right.
If it doesn't fit,
right.
You must acquit.
But this song is all about you, Dominic, in every conceivable facet.
Really?
When I hear this melody in my medulla and cerebellum, Larry, I think of the Big Mac Daddy himself, Dominic Carter. Now, doesn't that make sense?
No, he needs a strong song like the Mighty Clouds of Joy. That's a strong, it's his personality. Dominic,
a little too religious. I don't get a sense that you're religious.
So, Larry, what song? Right. What song? Tell me a song.
Take a load off your mind. Ride the mighty glory.
Yeah, but that's a little too religious for Dominic. A little too religious because he's secular and sometimes demonic, too, at the same time. 1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis Sliwa. The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
from
the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny. You came along and woo.
Feel like I'm Irish here, right? Jerry Lee Lewis, Great Balls of Fire. Classic song. But one that I remember every time I think of him, south of the Mason-Dixon line, where they still fly the stars and bars, the flag of treason, as marrying a 13-year-old first cousin, and defended that right to do it. Meantime, nearby in Mississippi, M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I, Elvis Presley, Mr. Rock and Roll, was snacking on girls as young as 14 when he was a rock star extraordinaire.
But wait a minute. Isn't that illegal?
Well, that's why I have to usher an apology now. I've been making fun of people like Justin B. Love, you know, who is the hipster invader from Alabama, the home state of Judge Roy Moore, who's really under siege now. Latest update, guess who has a press conference today with a new accuser of Judge Moore right here in New York City?
Some major lawyer. Which one?
You know, she has them all. Gloria Allred.
Ah, I should have guessed that.
That'll be at 2:30 today. So we're going to learn of now a fifth woman who claims that Judge Moore was perving on her. But when I was Grand Marshal this weekend at the Blue Ribbon.
How do you define, what was the term you used?
Perving.
Do you define that?
Oh, that could be any number of things. Feeling them up, getting them to take their clothes off. Doing what Louis C.K. does, which is not touch the women, but, you know, try to show them he does not have erectile dysfunction.
Now, as a journalist, I do believe that everything you just named, that's all illegal in almost every state, I believe.
Well, I got to tell you, I have to utter an apology about our own state of New York that I thought was more enlightened than Alabama. And it was brought to me, to my attention, by one of the runners who was a prostate cancer survivor at the Blue Ribbon Prostate Cancer Run yesterday in Old Bethpage that I was the Grand Marshal at. He said, look, I'm originally from Alabama. I'm from Birmingham, or a suburb he mentioned outside of Birmingham. And he says, you know, New York just ended their child marriage, raising the age of consent from 14 to 18. And he stopped me, you know, like a deer staring in the headlights. And I remember Cuomo just recently did that. Last year, you could have gotten married in New York State at the age of 14.
So in other words, if you did something very bad and slept with a minor.
Right.
And her mom or her dad found out, to avoid going to jail, right, you would run and marry the girl so that you're good.
Yeah, could have done that. Done. So, hey, apologies are out there for me maligning Southerners. Because that's exactly what the main accuser is saying, that at the age of 14, she was preyed upon by Judge Moore. And that's what bothers people the most. I don't think they're as bothered by the 16, 17, 18-year-old allegations, especially since there was no sex and there was only kissing, according to all. It's really the 14-year-old.
Stop.
Yes.
How would you feel if some pervert, I don't care if he was a district attorney, assistant district attorney or not, if some pervert is kissing or trying to kiss your 16-year-old daughter?
Of course.
Remember, I'd want to knock him out. I have a daughter.
Yeah, I'd want to knock him out. But let's face it, when you start thinking of what he did, the allegation of the 14-year-old, that he didn't just try to kiss her, he took her clothes off. He took his clothes off.
A 14-year-old girl.
Right, right. In his own home. He had driven her to his own home. And then he wanted her to touch his manhood. And that's when she said, just take me home. And apparently he did. He didn't take it any further.
Was he an assistant district attorney at that time? Or
yes.
We're not sure.
Yes.
Okay. So I just want us to understand what's going on here. Someone who has the law completely in their corner, right? A grown man who's a prosecutor telling a 14-year-old girl to take her clothes off.
Yes.
In his home.
Yes.
And now this guy is the Republican nominee for Senate in Alabama.
Well, it gets a little worse because Roy Moore's former colleague says it was common knowledge that he not only dated teenagers, but that he would hang around playgrounds and malls eyeballing underage girls and talking with them, trying to sweetheart them.
Are you really surprised that any of this be real right now?
No, because when I look at Judge Roy Moore, I see a perv. I see a lech. That's just me. And remember, I hate Judge Moore for everything he stands for. So I really got to recuse myself on this. Why don't we go to the audio tape to fellow Alabamans other than our own Justin B. Love, like Alabama House Representative Ed Henry, who spoke on CNN.
If you are going to basically protect by your silence a crime, then you're part of that. And what the conversation was really around was the things like the Bill Cosby event where, or the instance where he had molested women, paid them to be quiet, went and molested other women, paid them to be quiet, and so on and so forth. And so both of these were lengthy conversations.
I gotta say, though,
if you're going to protect somebody, then you're part of it.
So you're saying victims of sexual assault are accomplices?
If you are part of silencing and keeping silence a crime, then you are culpable.
So what Henry is saying there is that these women who for 40 years only told intimate friends or relationships of what had happened with Judge Moore, by them not going public, they're culpable. And he went on to embellish that.
By politicizing this the way they have, it is going to further quiet anybody that has truly been assaulted. And that's the problem.
Well,
and
actually, isn't the thing that's going to quiet people?
You don't know, Anderson.
Excuse me, sir.
You have no idea what the truth is. You have no idea.
Nor do you. You're taking a stand based on no information.
What I have is, at least I know one of the individuals, right? Do you know any of them?
No, I don't.
Do you know any of them? Have you ever sat down and
you're telling me because you've spent some time with Judge Moore, you can tell if he likes
little girls. Conversation. And if I look at what I know of Roy Moore, who is a stalwart in conservative principles, a man who says what he means what he says, and is willing to die for his country, and I look at the face of the facts on this, that all of a sudden, after 40 years, supposedly, these women are going to come forward 4 weeks out from a senatorial election, it reeks. It smells horrible.
Let's open up our phone lines on that. And again, Ed Henry, Alabama House Representative, was set to come on the drive home at 5 today with me at 5. But because of this press conference with Gloria Allred bringing forward another accuser of Judge Moore, and this time it's in New York City, not in Birmingham or any other part of Alabama, it seems that the supporters have taken a step back to see exactly what this is first today at 2:30. Our number's 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Mr. Henry needs to go sit down somewhere in a closet and stay there. We just heard the classic response of blame the victim. Now, are we serious? Are we really serious about this? Somebody that's a prosecutor, you're going to approach a 14-year-old girl who perhaps is just discovering sexuality herself, if at all, and her body's changing, and she's going to stand up like a grown woman and say what you did to her. It's disgusting. Republicans should not be defending this. You have to call it what it is. And why is it? I'm going to put it out there. Notice he did the little Bill Cosby drop in. Notice that, right? Now, Bill Cosby, for all of his despicable acts, Bill Cosby has nothing to do with this. So let's leave him alone for a second, just for a second. But why is it, you answer this for me, Curtis, why is it that it appears that it's the conservatives with the most baggage behind closed doors when they talk all that family values nonsense and they don't mean it when you look at their lifestyles. Why is that?
Well, in fact, Bannon, as you know, who was exiled from the West Wing of the Trump administration, but has gone on a one-man crusade to take out all the country club Republicans and back Judge Moore in this last primary in Alabama against the sitting senator. This is what he had to say.
They're finding some collusion going on in those stories about Judge Moore, right? And I think you're going to find in the mainstream media either tonight or tomorrow, I think there's going to be some pretty interesting stories about how that information got dropped and who paid for it and who weaponized it. Like with Donald Trump, I said, when I stand with a man, I stand with him, right? And I told Trump that day, you got 100% chance. Just focus on what's important. Until I see additional evidence on Judge Moore, I'm standing with him.
All right, and he's referring to that drop, the Billy Bush tape, Access Hollywood, remember, in which when it aired at like 3:30 on a Friday, I remember we were broadcasting here, and then Rinse Out Priebus, who was chairman of the RNC, told Trump, drop out. Paul Ryan told him to drop out. Remember, don't bother coming to Wisconsin the next day for that all-state rally in which he was going to be the featured guest on the stage. Other Republicans were telling him to drop out. Very few, like Bannon, were telling him, no, you're in it to win it. Don't drop out. Now, imagine if Trump had dropped out and it had been Pence versus Hillary Rodham Clinton. 1-800-848-WABC. Oh, Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, who hates, who despises Judge Moore. Wait on this very simply today.
Or do you believe these allegations to be true?
I believe the women, yes.
So McConnell is saying he believes the women accusers.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. How many women will it take? How many that were young girls at that time? How many do we need before we conclude, oh, this guy's a pervert? How many more do we need? I don't care if he was a judge. I don't care if he was a district attorney. As a matter of fact, that makes it worse in terms of what he did abusing these young girls.
Let's go to Ellen, who's calling from Manhattan. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Ellen?
Yeah, hi. I called last April, and you had Christopher Hahn with you, and it was over the young Greek guy that was a gay Greek man that was with Breitbart.
Yes.
And you were slandering him all over the place and how horrible and blah, blah, blah. And I called and I said, well, you can get married in New York State at age 14 with a judge permission and maybe relative consent. And he said, oh, no, it's 17, and then you hung up on me.
No, you're absolutely right. I apologize. I just did my mea culpas. I was unaware that the law in New York State had been that you could have gotten married up until last year at the age of 14, and then Cuomo amended that to roll it back to 18. But you're absolutely right. So Judge Moore, if he had chosen to marry that young girl under New York State law and the parents were in agreement and the child was in agreement, he could have married that girl at the age of 14 in the state of New York.
It's in Alabama, it's still 14. So
hey,
what are we
talking?
Okay, the age of consent.
No, Ellen, I believe in Alabama it's 16.
Ellen.
That's the age of consent.
Ellen.
Isn't this a total hypocrisy?
Ellen, and that's exactly what I wanted to ask you about. It is great to be in a man's world. That's why I want to talk to you as a woman right now. I want to know from a female perspective, because the way I look at this, and maybe it's because I'm the father of a daughter, I feel that at age 14, a girl is just discovering her body, herself. And for this guy to do what he allegedly did, I want the woman perspective, Ellen, the way you see this.
Well, I think it's horrific. But let's get real here. If we're so hypocritical with our laws, and then it's being used as a political smear. They don't give a damn what he really did. This is politics. So that's why I hate it.
Well, this is all part of negative research.
It's a game playing.
Yeah, it's a question of who got the nugget and gave it to the Washington Post. Justin B. Love has said some journalists had heard of rumors about this over the years, but nobody could ever put their finger
on the Pulse.
Curtis, let's be real. You and I are street guys.
Yes.
For every politician that's out there in our region, haven't we already heard every possible allegation about them? Now, whether or not we can prove it is something else. But haven't we heard every single allegation of every local official who they might be having an affair with, who whether or not they're gay or straight? Haven't we heard all the allegations? Now, come on, get real right now.
No, because I know of a few that I haven't brought to the airwaves yet. And I will cold bust those people over time.
Please don't.
Oh, no, I have to.
Don't.
One is a friend.
And you're going to do that.
I have to. That's okay. It's all right. He'll survive. He'll get a job in the private sector and have to work like everybody else instead of live off the tit of the taxpayer. 1-800-848-WABC, and especially since they're going to be raising our taxes, right? If you happen to fit into the middle class, your taxes are going to pay more for these stiffs in office who obviously say, do as I say, but not as I do. 1-800-848-9222. To the phones we go. Dominic Carter in the house as we talk about Judge Moore. And remember, Gloria Allred is expected to bring forth a fifth victim of Judge Moore today, somewhere in New York City at 2:30, as all of a sudden a tsunami of accusations is mounting up against him with a month to go in his Senate race in Alabama. Let's go to Doug in Trenton. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic here at WABC. Dougie.
Hey, how you doing? Matthew 28:16, Susie's Tomato Garden by Pioneer. It's Ezekiel 43:12. My name is Doug, S-I-T-T-E-L, and my YouTube uploads had some guys trying to do this to me.
Now, hold on a second. I was totally engaged in that conversation.
Really?
Man. Ken, really? Were you totally engaged in that conversation?
YouTube nut.
Well, wait a second. He was talking about tomatoes, right?
Right.
And what is the fruit of New Jersey? Tomatoes, right? That's a state fruit, not the vegetable. It's a fruit. Did you know that's a fruit?
So what's the point?
I was totally engrossed in it, man. I don't know why Matt Dahl, graduate of Rider, I guess you wasted your education on that and your student loans because you couldn't figure it out, so you dumped him. Yet me, the high school dropout, I understood exactly what he was talking about.
So what was he talking about?
Anyway, let's go to Rhonda, who's calling from, welcome to WABC, Rhonda.
Hi, Curtis, and listen, I am appalled, and I cannot believe how much of this perversion is going on. Can you imagine in the time when Art Linkletter was working with the babies on TV, and we heard that Art Linkletter did something like that, we would all be totally freaked out. The fact that this is going on, and more people are committing it, just like with the guns, it's encouraging
Rhonda, did you really believe that this was just Bill Clinton and Bill Cosby? Did you really believe that?
No, but imagine back in the year when I was a little girl, I'm 64 now, watching Art Linkletter, and later on, years later, I heard that, or even back then, my parents were listening to that. They would be freaked out. I mean, now we're not even so freaked out because it's so common, even like with what's happening with guns. We're used to this in our environment, in our society. It's sick.
I want to impale myself here. She has desecrated the image of Art Linkletter, who actually was a hobo for years. He would actually ride the rails back in the Depression and then went on to become a great star of television and a great salesman, whose daughter, remember, took LSD and jumped from the balcony of a hotel to her demise. Say it ain't so about Art Linkletter, Rhonda. Say it ain't so.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
77 WABC.
.139, Dominic Carter in the house. Dominic, were you ever a Trekkie into Star Trek?
Not really. I'm almost embarrassed to admit it, but not really.
Not the movies, not the TV series, not the clones of it.
Growing
right?
up in the projects, man, we, you know, good times, the Jeffersons.
Oh, no, I understand. But
we love the Jeffersons because George was taking none of it.
I know, but imagine if you were walking up the stairwells Because a lot of times your elevators were not working. They were purposely knocked out by the thugs so that they could victimize you.
This is true.
If you saw at the top of the steps, George Takei, known as Sulu in Star Trek, with a sword in his hand, you know, ready to engage the thugs in combat, you would have been down with Sulu, right?
Yeah.
Hey.
I don't think like you, man. You like fighting and...
Wow, man, you were like into books. You were a lover. You just avoid all kinds of confrontations.
Curtis, let's face it. You like to fight.
Yes. Yes, I do. I like to step up to people and engage them.
And the more street they are, the more dangerous they are, the more you enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. I get a vicarious thrill out of it.
See what I'm saying?
But there are a lot of people now getting a vicarious thrill out of the number of men who have been caught up in this tsunami of allegations against them as pervs, as sexual predators, and as rapists. One of the more recent ones is George Takei, who had actually texted out against others who were being accused and, you know, vilified them. And now it seems the tables are turned. It was a young man who says that George Takei, a.k.a. Sulu, without his sword, invited him over to his apartment. And he and another young man that he was with went over there. They were having drinks. He passed out. The next thing he knows, George Takei is feeling up his three-piece set and attempting to take his underwear off. And that's when he objected and he stormed out of the house. He's told that story now. And it's interesting because George Takei, Sulu, has said, oh, this is an operation of those Russian bots. You know, the same ones who are planning false, fake stories during the campaign or trying to steer votes towards Donald Trump against Hillary. Russian bots planted this story. And in fact, it's not true at all. But in an interview that he had done with Howard Stern, listen to what he said in answers to Howard Stern about him sidling up to guys and maybe violating them.
Did you ever grab anyone by the c- against their will?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Well, they were different times.
Or something?
You never sexually harassed anyone.
Hey,
have you?
It's some people that are kind of skittish.
Right.
Or maybe afraid. And you're trying to persuade. But, you know...
Do we need to call the police?
Do we need to call the police? And then it goes on.
But you didn't do this grabbing at work.
Oh, no, no. It wasn't at work.
Oh, good.
It was either in my home.
Oh, okay.
They came to my home.
Well, that was an open invitation.
So what do you mean? Like, there'd be some guy who was hesitating to have sex with you, and then you gave him a gentle squeeze on the balls or something?
Mm. More than a gentle.
Now, George Takei obviously must be suffering from the first levels of dementia because he pretty much gave you an entree into his world on the Howard Stern show that this is what he did and does, maybe. But now he's in complete denial about these allegations. And look, he is just one of so many who've queued up. Remember the great film Top Gun? With
yes.
Tom Cruise and Anthony Edwards,
yes.
You know, competing against one another.
Yes.
Now, Anthony Edwards was about as macho as you can get, remember? He was like the ultimate
Curtis,
in macho.
Those are the ones you got to look at the most when it comes to this type of behavior.
Yeah, but it's not him who apparently is guilty of the behavior. He's come out and he said he was molested by a producer, Gary Goddard, when he was just a child actor, you know, making his bones, working his way through Hollyweird. In trying to establish a resume. And he said he had run into Goddard years later at an airport, and he ran up to him because his best friend had also been raped by him. And he said, look, man, you know what you did to me? You know what you did to my best friend? And Goddard told him he had gotten help and expressed his remorse, Edwards claims. Then you look at Ellen Page slamming all Hollywood abusers, including Brett Ratner and Woody Harrelson. Warner Brothers suspends the Supergirl producer amid multiple abuse claims. Tony Tarantino, who is the father of the Cucamonga Tarantino, who made Pulp Fiction and the other films for Harvey Weinstein, Quentin, says that he was abused when he was trying to become an actor in Hollywood. A guy tried to take advantage of him physically. He knocked him out at that time and regrets having used that force because he was blackballed from the industry no matter what kind of a job he got. He didn't say that he should have succumbed. He should have said he should have talked his way out. Rebel Wilson details disgusting propositions by male stars. And Jan Werner of Rolling Stone magazine offered a man a job as a writer for the magazine in exchange for sex. And it just keeps going on and on and on and on.
Are you surprised?
No, but it's got to be a way to get all of this dealt with, because this is going to continue to keep leaking out and leaking out. And some of them will be false. Most of them will be accurate. So I am suggesting, since Louis C.K. was like the first to acknowledge everything.
Okay, but wait, wait. Have you ever been sexually harassed?
No. No, I think everybody's afraid of me, both women and men. Nobody looked to sexually harass me. But I know,
okay.
I know it has happened to especially young men and young women growing up.
Well, to be honest with you, I have, as a journalist, by a female journalist who will remain nameless because she's very powerful and on television, not anyone from New York One. And she touched me maybe 15 years ago in an inappropriate way. And I had two choices: go with it or report it. You report it, your career is over. So what are you supposed to do?
I know, but were you devastated and traumatized? Or
shocked.
Did you think?
Shocked.
I know, but from a guy's point of view.
Shocked, shocked. We were in a stairwell,
yes.
And she's a very prominent reporter on local TV today.
Mm-hmm.
Not on New York One. And she just touched me in a very inappropriate way.
Your tuchus, or did she pull your three-piece
set? I'm not going any further in a very appropriate way. I am only saying this because if you go forward with these allegations, your career is over. It's your word against their word. They're going to deny it. And so what are you supposed to do? It just caught me off guard.
How about this? I was thinking, what could be done with this slew of exposés that are coming out? And you know there are more to come in
the
all
only
different
thing you
fields.
Can do, the only thing you can do is what's happening right now.
No.
If you shame people. Because we were naive enough to think that just Bill Cosby was doing it.
Right.
And prior to him, Bill Clinton.
Right.
This happens every day. It's a matter of power. And what's the de Blasio's guy, the comedian that de Blasio's
Louis running? C.K., yeah.
Right. I mean, are you shocked that he was doing this? Are you really shocked?
No.
I'm not shocked at all. You can look at him and tell he's a pervert.
Yeah.
You can look at him and tell de Blasio was just using him.
Yes.
For his reelection. I mean, who would, let's be honest about this. Who would pull out their private part and masturbate in front of a woman that wants to throw up at the sight of looking at you? Who in their right mind would do
that? Well, notice it involves men in power and also men down and out. I've seen them do that on the subway stations, you know, the pervs who frequent in the subway. So we haven't fully studied why men, some men, do this. Because obviously it affects men at all different levels.
Some women do it, too, that are very powerful women.
Yeah, but it's not as prevalent as
right.
It is with guys.
Right.
This is my suggestion, and let's see if the audience can buy into this. Because there are so many allegations, and some of them are going to turn out not to be true, like the one that was made against Charlie Sheen, in which it was thought that he had raped a young child actor on the set of one of the movies. It turned out that the mother of that child actor, who is no longer alive, on Dr. Oz, said it wasn't Charlie Sheen, and she busted another actor instead. How about what happened in South Africa in the aftermath of the collapse of apartheid, where they put together a Truth and Reconciliation Commission where you can come forward and acknowledge all of your sins, you know, put it, lay it all out on the table, not your three-piece set.
So like right before Mandela took office or right after?
Right. Right, remember? And you had all these guys from the apartheid regime who would come in and would acknowledge all the bad things they did. Didn't mean they got a free pass. But it got everything out into the open. Everything out into the open before others come forward with allegations, some of which may be true, some not. And then, you know, others may want to settle scores.
So let me see. A lot of people want to settle scores. Let me see how this Sliwa idea works. So
let's see you at Louis C.K.
Okay, so I'm going to come forward and say, yes, I auditioned many women for my TV show, and I said, honey, just sit there and watch me do something. And I've seen the light of God, and
no,
and
no,
amen, and forgive me.
No, you don't
me.
Get you don't get to do that. You don't get to say that, you know, you've had a deathbed conversion. You just have to acknowledge everything you did. Get it all out into the open.
Do you know how much some of these guys do? You know, Curtis.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I think
some of these guys do this almost every day,
You have an L.A. County District Attorney task force now that is researching like close to 45 allegations. I'm thinking this is a way to get to the source of the problem a hell of a lot quicker than waiting for court. And remember, there's statute of limitation issues. Some of this will never be resolved in either civil court or criminal court. Anyway, let's go to Jen, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Jen?
Hi, how are you both? I know, Curtis, I know you're not well. Anyway, Dominic, you said you can look at someone and tell they're a pervert. Right?
Well, in many cases, yes, Jen. In many cases, yes.
Okay, so my question is, when you look at Donald Trump, what do you see?
I'm not answering that, but I will say this much, Jen.
Selective, huh?
No. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not making this racial, but it is. He's a white man of power with money. In most cases, what do you think comes with that, Jen?
I'm not sure what you're asking.
What I'm saying is people of tremendous power and tremendous privilege. What Mr. Trump said on that Access Hollywood tape is exactly how many people of power feel.
Yeah, so you don't think he's a pervert, right?
Oh, well, I know he's a perv.
Oh,
no doubt he's a perv. He's just gotten away with it. He's just gotten away with it.
Dominic can see. He just said he could see that what the comedian is a perv by looking at him.
Yeah, Louis C.K.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jen, you couldn't look at Louis, what's his name, C.K.?
Louis C.K.
You couldn't look at him and tell he was a perv?
Well, you can see he's nebbishy and schlubby like Harvey Weinstein.
Let's be honest about, let's cut through all the nonsense. Why would any woman want him? Let's cut through the, unless, if you don't count his money, why would any woman want him? Let's be real.
Well, there are a lot of guys like him who do have.
You're proving my point. And why do they want them?
1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis Sliwa.
Boom!
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels, was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of the Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
We must be like fools in that begin. We must be like fools in that not give in. We must be like fools in this just one way. We must be like fools in no more run away.
7 minutes after the hour or two. This is the number one song in all of Mother Russia. You got to get up and dance whenever you're at any of their casino discotheques. Or there's two bullets to the back of your head, since this is a tribute to the dictator, the despot, the tyrant, Vladimir Putin.
Quickly, what was Russia like? I've never been there.
I was there when Boris Yeltsin was there. He's sort of like the equivalent of Mitch McConnell. You know, they both love Kentucky bourbon. Oh, actually, Yeltsin would drink anything. Russian vodka, Stoli. When visiting the White House, he was staying in the Blair House next door, which is sometimes where presidents have stayed when the White House is in reconstruction. And he ran out into the middle of the street with no clothes on, totally drunk during the Clinton administration, and had to be corralled back in. But I was there when the oligarchs were stealing everything in the aftermath of Glasnost and Perestroika, you know, after Gorbachev had sort of faded with his wine spot on his head off the political sphere. And Yeltsin was there with no control. And then he promoted up the ranks a guy named Vladimir Putin, who had been Mr. KGB, Mr. Stasi in East Germany. And suddenly you know the rest of the story. But it is interesting because on this completed trip that the president has had out into the Asian continent, he commented quite a bit about Putin and commented quite a bit about the evil seat of Kim Jong mentally ill behind the kimchi curtain of North Korea. In fact, he was trading disparaging remarks again
with the fat guy with the bad haircut. And in fact, here was Kellyanne Conway defending the president over that.
We inherited a mess, including a nuclearized North Korea, including the Iran deal, including many hotspots around the globe that he is trying, when he's here at his desk and when he's abroad on these trips, he's trying to make better on behalf of everyone.
And you think name-calling is helpful? Somebody short and fat?
I think that that was the president just responding the way he does to somebody who insulted him first.
So now, you know Donald Trump better than anyone, whether it's Citizen Trump or President Trump. The fact that Kim Jong mentally ill's evil seed would call him old. He's what, 71? So I guess you can call him old. Should that immediately cause a knee-jerk response where he calls him short and fat?
Of course not. This entire premise is ridiculous. We have two world leaders that could, via nuclear weapons, destroy the world. And they're calling each other short and fat and what's the other term, crazy?
Yeah, well, no, old.
Old, okay. Old. So old. So whether you like Obama or not, let's say that most of our audience does not like Obama.
Oh, that's a good bet.
Okay. So could we see a scenario where an Obama would engage in a conversation like that? Because I don't. It's childish. It's beneath the office of the presidency of the United States.
Well, let's find out from our many listeners, is it beneath the president of the United States, or is this what you expect and you want from Donald Trump to be firing on all cylinders in response to any criticism? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, with the evil seed of Kim Jong mentally ill, he doesn't mind getting down and dirty. But with Vladimir Putin, this president cannot see any evil in Putin. Almost the whole world does, but not our president. He was asked again about the intelligence reports that said that Putin was interfering with the election and planting false stories in the media, trying to cause insurrection and dividing whites and blacks, poor and rich. And the president seemed to be defending Putin again.
I believe that he feels that he and Russia did not meddle in the election. As to whether I believe it or not, I'm with our agencies, especially as currently constituted with their leadership. I believe in our intel agencies, our intelligence agencies. I've worked with them very strongly.
And all the intelligence agencies said, yes, Putin was masterminding this as the former head of the KGB. In fact, the CIA director that Trump handpicked, the former congressman from Kansas, said, oh, absolutely. And not just in trying to interfere with the election, but I think worse, planting stories in the media through bots, through Russian bots, in which they were falsely creating stories that pitted whites versus blacks, poor versus rich, red states versus blue states, and really trying to throw gasoline on the fire to whatever separations existed initially. And then they just try to just sort of jam it open and make it even worse, which is to the detriment of our country. Now, I know we do the same thing to them.
Yes,
absolutely,
no,
we do the
no
same thing.
No doubt about it.
But you got to condemn it. So I
of
would
course.
Expect Vladimir Putin to condemn if the United States was interfering with his administration in Moscow. But not to all of a sudden say, well, you know, Putin denied it. He's really getting upset. He's really taking it personally. I don't get that. Remember the incident. You weren't born yet. I was a kid. Eisenhower comes on TV. It's right before Kennedy wins that very close election against Nixon. And he tells America that, in fact, the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev, has not shot down a U-2 spy plane that was piloted by CIA agency pilot Francis Gary Powers. Said, no, that's misinformation. In the vernacular of today, he would have said that's fake news. You know what Nikita Khrushchev did the next day? He had a press conference in which he not only showed the wreckage of the CIA U-2 plane, but he paraded out pilot Francis Gary Powers, who was in chains and shackles. Cold-busted Eisenhower.
So let me reduce this in terms that you and I can directly relate to here. So, Curtis, did you take my Big Mac? No, I didn't, Dominic. And that's the end of it. We are talking about the President of the United States, and he is outright taking Putin's word for not being involved in the American elections, and that's that, instead of informing Putin that we have, and not only taking Putin's word, but dismissing the U.S. intelligence agencies.
This is the way I would have handled it. I would have said, yeah, I told Putin, whatever you were doing, it's got to stop now.
Immediately.
I'm not going to stand for it on my watch. That's it. That doesn't state specifically what Putin was doing, but you better not do it or there will be ramifications, consequences for your actions.
I'll do you one better. The president, and before I get criticized for this, let's remember that when everybody takes credit now and says, oh, I predicted he was going to win. I said this way, way back.
Oh, yes, you did.
But before it became popular. So this president has no problem telling anybody else where they can go and how far they can go. But when it comes to Putin, we tap dance around that issue.
Oh, completely. Completely.
You tell me why. I won't sum it up as a journalist and tell you what my instincts tell me.
Well,
you tell me why
the same way
he's bowing down to
Putin. The same way for years politicians on both sides of the aisle, including LBJ, JFK, Richard Nixon, tapped around J. Edgar Hoover. They knew he was gay.
That's right.
They knew he was a freak in terms of him dressing up as a woman and hanging out with Cardinal Spellman over there at the rectory there, right by St. Patrick's Cathedral. They knew all this, but they didn't say anything because they knew he had a dossier on everybody. He had the dirt on everybody. Anyway, let's go to the phones. First up in the queue is Bill, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Bill?
Hey, guys.
Hi, Bill.
You turn on your television, and you see this Kim Jong Un, whatever his name is, pointing at a bomb like he understands the mechanics of how the things work. What an absurdity, first of all.
Wait, Bill. How do you know he doesn't understand?
Because he was just put into the office. He's not a nuclear scientist.
Okay, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't understand.
How many people understand how a nuclear weapon works? But here's my point. I sure don't, and I'm a college graduate, and I know other smart people that have no idea about what nuclear fission is. But you know what? President Donald Trump is over there telling this fat little douche about the way it is. Instead of Obama, what he did, he was over there apologizing.
So wait, Bill, we're going to give you your say here. But you said that the president is telling him the words, the way it is. The way it is defined by who?
Look at the guy, and he speaks for himself.
Okay, wait. Defined by who? Do you not realize the arrogance of your statement? As defined by who?
What, the definition of what?
You said he's over there telling the president there the way it is.
Okay, first of all, he's not apologizing for the way America is, number one, like Obama did. And number two, he's putting this little guy down way below the ladder where he belongs, because he's not a leader. He's nothing but
a troublemaker. So, Bill, what if it doesn't work, and your word, quote, little guy, what if he doesn't back down?
He does not have the capacity to reach any, not even Japan, who is a major power that will knock his archaic missiles out of the sky.
We've been downplaying what North Korea's abilities are. We were told they couldn't miniaturize a nuclear warhead and put it on an ICBM missile until years from now. Now they have that capacity. You have to question a lot of our intelligence officials, especially in the aftermath of weapons of mass destruction, yellow cake in Iraq. We're still looking for that, right? We're still looking for it. And I know some of you are going to say, oh, no, he shipped it to Syria. Get out of here. Let's go to Sal. Make that Sal in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic here on WABC, Sal.
Hey, gentlemen. A pleasure. Listen, my thing is, I think that Trump might be cozying up to Putin because, you know, guess what? He may need him, and he may need him for the big picture, such as dealing with North Korea or counterbalance China. You know, you can't just pretend that a country with over 10,000 nuclear weapons just doesn't exist. You know, and I think they don't necessarily have to be friends. But you know what? You want to have warm ties.
Because a nuclear weapon can really ruin your day. But Sal, you know, Romney, who we made fun of, was absolutely right when he said, our main enemy is Putin. Putin was out to sow the seeds of insurrection in our country. Senator John McCain says Putin is a bigger threat than ISIS has ever been to us. And the president just acts as if Putin is like, nah, no big thing. No, I believe him. Do you believe Putin, Sal, that he did not try to interfere with our election?
No, I don't believe him. However, that being said, you know who you blame? You blame our country in that we should be prepared for this stuff. And, you know, you could point fingers all you want, but you have to take responsibility and say it's our fault for letting this
happen. Yeah, but if somebody bullies you and you don't call them out, guess what they're going to do? They're going to continue to bully you. And that's exactly what Putin is doing exactly as we speak. Let's go to Bill in Greenbrook. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic here on WABC. Billy?
Yes, how are you guys doing?
I've had better days.
Listen, the original question, I think, was about whether or not Trump portrays himself as well as Obama does as an orator. I don't think there's any question that Obama presented himself more presidential. But beyond that, I think that's where the comparison begins and ends. When people want to criticize Donald Trump, they always criticize him for what he says. They rarely criticize him for what he does. You know, what's happening in North Korea, the 8 years that Obama had to try to straighten it out, now that Trump inherited it, all they're talking about is Trump's position. You very rarely hear them talk about what Obama did during the 8 years.
Well, in fairness, though, Bill, it hasn't played out yet completely for President Trump. We'll see. We'll see.
And not only that, but it was Obama in tandem, in coalition with the European Union, that ratcheted up the sanctions against Putin. If it were up to Trump, if he could, he would roll back those sanctions tomorrow.
He already said that he would like to do that.
Yes, there's no doubt. 1-800-848-WABC.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa.
Curtis Lewa.
77 WABC.
As the president says, look, how many times can I ask Putin, did you interfere with our election? He gets insulted. He takes it personal. So I'm not going to do it anymore. Really? 1-800-848-WABC. While Dominic Carter is in the house, let's go to Mark. First up in the queue, calling from Pennsylvania. Welcome to WABC, Mark.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hey, listen, I think you're missing a point about what is said in public and what is said behind closed doors. These world leaders have a speech for domestic consumption, and they have a speech for international, understanding. Now, look at what happened with Trump with Duterte in the Philippines. He said all kind of nasty things about Trump. Now Trump's over there shaking his hand. I can really get along with this guy. You know, what goes on behind closed doors is serious stuff, and they're not going to tell you what they're doing.
Mark, hold on. I really have to contradict what you're saying. I have guardian angels in the Philippines in Manila. And Duterte is a madman. He's absolutely out of his mind.
Absolutely.
He goes after enemies of himself politically with the ruse that they're drug dealers. Meantime, the cops go out in the middle of the night, shoot them in the back of their head, take their drugs, and guess what the cops do with it? They start selling it.
Sell it. Listen, right. I agree. The point is, Trump is out there on a press conference shaking his hand and saying, I can really get along with this guy, and yet he knows exactly what Duterte is doing and how Duterte cut him down after the election. So they make nice and deal with things behind
Mark,
the scenes.
Mark, Trump and Duterte have been like the best of buddies. It was Duterte who was condemning Barack Obama, who was very negative towards him, saying his country needs to follow the rule of law. That's what we have always done, is we have always urged other countries to follow the rules of law. And our president now, Donald Trump, discards that message. I think he actually admires Duterte.
Well,
in fact, when Duterte gets sacked, because I think eventually it's going to catch up to him that he's really using this to kill his political enemies, to close media outlets. He could become our drug czar, since we really don't have a drug czar now, right? Maybe Trump can appoint Duterte the drug czar of the United States.
Well, Mark is right about this. Every president has a public posture and a private posture as it relates to other countries. Remember when Obama said to Putin, and I believe it was Putin, it was caught off mic, wait until after the election is over?
No, it was actually to his lapdog there, who he rotates positions with. It'll come to me momentarily.
Okay, all right. So, but the position with Trump as it relates to Russia, it looks like the president is literally bowing down to Putin on almost everything.
Now, think of how different it was when then Ronald Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev, who was somebody he could talk with, I might add, tear down that wall. Tear down. You couldn't be more adversarial than that. And yet, they were able to negotiate. They were able to get along. Did they have their rough spots? Yes. But then eventually, glasnost and perestroika came about because Reagan was backing up his hard rhetoric with hard financial realities for the Soviet Union by increasing our military spending. The Soviets tried to keep pace, and it just bankrupted them. So you could, you know, if you want to adopt the Teddy Roosevelt, you know, speak quietly and carry a big stick, that's fine. But the only stick that ever gets used by Donald Trump is to his personal enemies, the people that he feels he's been offended by. Putin is a threat to America. He's proven that. He never pulls out his big stick with Putin. He needs to give him a whooping at some point, even if it's just a rhetorical whooping.
So the question becomes, why isn't the president of the United States doing exactly what you just said?
Somebody's got a dossier on you and your family, and they know hidden facts and hidden secrets.
You said it.
Let's face it. That's why nobody ever went at J. Edgar Hoover. Remember, everyone hated J. Edgar Hoover, Republicans, Democrats.
But nobody.
Because he had a dossier on everyone, even though they knew he was a degenerate gambler. He was gay at the time, and he would dress up as a woman and go hang out with Cardinal Spellman in the rectory right there in the shadow of St. Patrick's Cathedral, and they would frolic
with
underage men.
Let's leave that alone.
Yes, true, true. And they all knew it, but didn't say anything.
Next topic.
And then remember what he did to Martin Luther King Jr.
That
tried to get him to commit suicide.
That played out, and just the last, they just released documents.
Yes.
Tried to get him to commit suicide.
Said the best thing you could do is commit suicide. And nobody touched J. Edgar Hoover. Why? Because like Putin, he was Mr. KGB in the United States. He knew where all the bones were buried and who buried him. But on that note, let's get our news and headlines from Ken Duffy.
This is breaking news on 77 WABC New York.
Well, Dominic, I know you're headed back to Newark to federal court in the trial against the capo di tutti of all crooked politicians, U.S. Senator Bobby Menendez. The judge has just indicated that the jury has sent him a note. They say they're deadlocked on the charges.
Yes.
Even though, remember, they had to assemble today with the one juror flying off to vacation, which meant the alternate. And the 11 other jurors had to start from scratch. So apparently, within the course of maybe 4 hours, they've come to a conclusion that they're deadlocked. The judge has sent them back in to continue their deliberations. Having been involved in 4 trials against John Gotti Jr., who was charged with the attempted kidnap and murder of me, I know what a federal judge will do when all other measures fail. They may issue an Allen charge, which like forces the jury to come to a conclusion one way or the other. I don't think we're at that point, do you?
No, where things stand as of right now, the judge has actually sent them home to get some rest and start all over again tomorrow. So juror number 8 was correct in her assessment. Even with her gone, Evelyn Arroyo Maltzby, when she said that there were 3 to 4 others on the jury that felt exactly the same way she did in terms of not guilty. So in the next 20 minutes from the time we get off the air, I will be beelining back to the courtroom and we'll have live reports throughout the afternoon on Fios News and RNN television.
Today is Monday. Why is the judge sending him home? They haven't even done a half day of deliberation.
Because the jury, you are correct. This is a brand new jury, but the former juror was correct. They are completely deadlocked.
Well, in fact,
there's going to be no movement.
Let's go to the audio tape because it was exclusive to Dominic Carter, who is responsible for possibly being the reporter who is going to provide a lifeline to Bobby Menendez so that he doesn't end up doing time in Camp Fed. This is the juror, remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dominic, who had told the judge in advance, hey, on this date of November 13th, I have a pre-planned vacation. And the judge, way back when the trial first started, said, don't worry about it. We'll be finished. We'll have a decision one way or the other by then. Now that the D-Day came, he's allowing her to go on her vacation. And she was talking like a yenta to you over the weekend.
It was very stressful.
Why?
Why? Because I feel like the government was very corrupted. Not that Menendez was. So what I saw is that they were, to me, railroading him.
You feel the government is trying to railroad Menendez?
Yes.
The government is trying to railroad this crook. And then you went on to elicit this from the juror number 8 who can't stop talking like a yenta.
Were you the only one holding out at this point?
Basically. And there's more, but I'm the one that held out. That he's not guilty on every single charge.
Your juror number 8 inside this room, and you are indicating that it was a hung jury?
Right now it's a hung jury. Yes, it's a hung jury right now.
Wow.
They're not sure. They're still going through all documents to see if they can see if there's anything wrong. But when I through the whole trial, I did not fall asleep. I paid attention to everything that they showed me. And what I saw, the government didn't give me enough. So I think the defense showed me enough to say he's not guilty on every count.
So, Dominic Carter, you've actually continued your conversation while this yenta is off on vacation somewhere in the West Indies or the Caribbean.
Yes, she's in the Caribbean. I spoke to her just a little time ago this afternoon, right before we came on the air. And she felt strongly that she had been mistreated by other jurors. And so, if you're just joining us here on WABC, Curtis can give you the headline. But the judge has sent the jury home, Federal Judge William Walls. My prediction, this is going to end in a mistrial. There's no doubt about it. So the government will have to decide whether or not they want to come back at Menendez. A mistrial to a degree will be a victory for the senator. The government, they've got a problem. They can't get a 12-member jury to vote guilty on the 18 counts. Now, they already have Melgen. Dr. Melgen was convicted of Medicare fraud in Florida.
Oh, the most egregious Medicare fraud.
Yes, thank you. In Florida, he's already been convicted. In all likelihood, the jury does not know. Juror number 8 didn't know that Melgen's in lockup. Federal marshals escort him to court every day. When the jurors see him, he's in a suit. So they have no idea, and the marshals are standing behind him. So they don't know that he's already a federal prisoner.
But, Dominic, when it comes to Melgen, who was the benefactor, the Medici, for Senator Menendez's many trips all over the West Indies and Caribbean, especially to the DR, he lobbied for the infamous Dr. Melgen to get his Medicare payments from the federal government, meaning Menendez personally himself lobbied the health department at the time, the secretary of health, to give the money to Melgen for work he hadn't even done.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because it shows you've been paying very close attention to the details of this trial. Dr. Melgen is all over an eye medication called Lucentis. And it costs $2,000 for a single use.
They shoot it into your eyeball. Right.
Right. And I don't know if it's drops or they shoot it, but it's single use. The government says that Dr. Melgen owed them $8.9 million and because he was multi-dosing.
Yes.
So you're only supposed to use it once. And let me just say, I'm getting notes from our producers inside the courtroom.
for RNN and Fios Television. And the note from the jury reads, as of 2 p.m., on behalf of all jurors, we cannot reach a unanimous decision on any of the charges. So not on a single charge. Is there any additional guidance? What do we do now? Again, the judge told the jurors to continue their deliberations tomorrow, to, quote, go home, get a breath of fresh air, clear your head, hopefully have a good night's sleep.
And what he could do is he could end up giving them an Allen charge, which forces them back in to deliberate, in which it's like setting off dynamite in that deliberation room.
They're not going to reach an agreement. But back to the multi-dosing.
Yes.
And as it relates to Menendez, I'm glad you brought that up. So something that the government was paying eye doctors $2,000 per use. When you're done with it, you're supposed to throw it in the garbage. The government alleges that Dr. Melgen used that same single-use medication 4 times. So instead of billing for $2,000, he sent the government a bill for $8,000.
And the person who went to the mat for him to get all that money.
This is true.
Is Menendez.
This
now,
is true.
No,
but wait, it's important to point out, Menendez did go to the mat for him, calling for a secretary, having a meeting with the Secretary of Health and Human Services. But Menendez, to his defense, says we were talking about bigger policy issues and not Melgen's specific
case. Oh, please. What a liar. And then, remember, here's Melgen. He's an ophthalmologist, like Rand Paul, like Assad, the butcher of Syria, the eye doctors. And he wanted a contract to provide security for the ports of the Dominican Republic, having no background in security. No access to the equipment that would be necessary to put into effect an almost homeland security creation for the DR. And yet it was also U.S. Senator Bobby Menendez who fought for him to get that contract, even though he knew he didn't have a resume for that. He had no experience in that field. He didn't have the access to the equipment. But give my friend the contract, and he'll subcontract it out and then get his piece of the pie.
Well, Dr. Melgen bought into he owned private jets, very wealthy eye doctor. He bought into a company in the Dominican Republic. He bought a 50% interest in that company. It gets much deeper than what you just laid out, which is very good. And here's the additional part. Not only did Senator Menendez advocate on behalf of Dr. Melgen, they wanted the U.S. government, Senator Menendez, who threatened to hold a Senate hearing if his buddy didn't get what he wanted.
Yep.
Menendez wanted the U.S. government to not send port screening equipment, because if the Dominican Republic had the screening equipment, then why do they need this contract?
Exactly.
So Menendez said, don't send the equipment. And if you don't send the equipment to the Dominican Republic, then the contract goes forward, which I believe was for a lot of money, $100 million.
Of course. And then naturally, Melgen would get his cut from the contract.
50% of that.
Now,
yes.
Anybody listening to anything like that would find him guilty on the charges that have to do specifically with Medicare. Reimbursements for Melgen that Menendez fought for his very dear Kumbadichich, and also for him getting the contract to do Homeland Security for the nation of the DR. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. While we talk about this update from the court that you'll be heading to downtown Newark in this Bobby Menendez case, did you happen to see Mr. DR over the weekend styling and profiling? Slamming Sammy Sosa? The guy is whiter than me now. Slammy Sammy Sosa, who in his heyday when he was roided up competing against Mark McGwire in those home run hitting contests when he was a Cub and McGwire was a St. Louis Cardinal, uses a bleaching cream that he claims he applies before going to bed that whitens his skin. And he says,
now, why would he want to do that?
Man, he looks like a total white boy now. He says, what happened was that I had been using the cream for a long time, and that combined with bright TV lights made my face look whiter than it really is. So I'm suggesting this. Dominic, if you could use that cream, that bleaching cream.
I'm not doing it.
You're under the hot lights all the time in your nightly reports for Fios One on RNN 6 to 7,
my brother,
Monday through Friday.
My brother, Sliwa, I am very comfortable in my skin. I am a very proud African-American.
Eddie Murphy, right? He became a white guy. Remember in that movie?
But why would I want to do
just
that?
Just to experience what I experience every day.
I already know what you go through every day.
I want you to be a cockazoid. I want you to walk in my shoes one day of your life so you can see what us caucasoids have to go through.
No, I want you to walk in my shoes and know what us brothers go through.
Yeah, but you wear those big 15-inch combat boots there. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. When we come back, I'm going to tell you why it's good to be dark and not to be white.
The world is black. The world is white.
By the way, Justin B. Love, our producer, Invader from Alabama. You better let Rich Cimenta know, producer for the Mark Levin Show, that Judge Moore had better drop out after today's revelations. There is a woman claiming that when she was 15, she was perved on by Judge Moore, who picked her up at the restaurant that she was at, took her to a dark alley. I'll leave the rest to your imagination. This perv that so many have gone to the mat for, Mark Levin, Sean Hannity, others, may well, at the end of today, have to wash out of this race, and the Republicans figure out a way to get in a write-in candidate. Maybe the guy, the tall guy there, Luther Strange. But, boy, this is damning. By the way, I started this segment by saying you should be proud that it's not always being dark or black that's negative in society, because in history that's been that way. But because I have colitis and ileitis, I have to eat only white bread. And they will tell you, dietitians will tell you, and doctors, push the white food off the plate. White bread, white rice, it's no good for you, right? In fact, the dark foods are best for you because it builds your nutrients. Dark is good, white is bad.
Now you got it.
So now are you finally happy,
Dr. Carter? Now you got it. Now you got it.
By the way, you're heading off to the Newark trial for Bobby Menendez.
Rushing off. We'll be live at 5 and 6 tonight. We'll have all the details.
Right. On RNN, if you get Fios One, you can watch Dominic in prime time from 6 to 7, Monday through Fridays.
And I love you, man.
No, I don't go that way, Dominic. Get your lips away from me.